This morning, before we open God's Word together, let's pray one more time. Father, thank you again for our time of worship. And we pray now as that we turn and look into your Scriptures together, Father, that you would open our hearts to you. Help us, Father, to be able to glean from it the truth that you have for us. And I pray if there's someone here this morning who's never accepted Jesus Christ truly as their Savior, I pray this morning, Father, that as we talk about America and this country, and as Roger's already talked about, the fact that we were founded on Christian principles, I believe that with all of my heart. I pray, Father, that what they would hear this morning is that God has had a plan for this nation. He has a plan for them and has always had a plan. And so we pray this morning that through the work of the Holy Spirit, that they would surrender and truly trust and know Jesus as their Savior. And I pray, Father, this morning for the believer. And maybe not just in this congregation, but throughout America, the unfortunate reality is too many Christians have become apathetic toward the things that I'm sure break the heart of God. And so this morning, as we open this passage and we look at the difficulty of the message that I believe that God has for this nation, I pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts to no longer be on the sidelines or apathetic or non-caring, but to understand that you have put us in this world for such a time as this, to be on mission for you, to be the truth tellers, to be the biblical examples of Christ's presence in this world. Father, you bless us today as we do this. You bless us as we read your word and study together, for it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 85. And today we're going to look at verses 7 through 13. Now, if you were with us on Memorial Day, we looked at the first six verses, essentially, of that psalm. And there we talked about how we need to pray for this country. And if you were here, you remember we talked about that we need to pray for God to forgive our country, for us sidestepping what God has intended. And I just said in my prayer, God's plan for this nation. We also encouraged ourselves to pray for God to revive this nation. Roger just mentioned that we are founded on Christian principles. And as we talk about change, certainly this is all under the umbrella of revival. This country is in desperate need of revival and renewal. But as I've said recently, and you may remember this, revival in that sense is really about believers' hearts being stirred. And so when we talk about revival and renewal, be careful what you're asking for. What you're actually asking for is for God to revive your heart as a believer, for you now to be in a right relationship with Him, and as we've also said, to no longer be apathetic or taking a sideline to the issues that now are plaguing our nation, which, by the way, God is very interested in, okay? But we talked about the revival, and then we also talked about for God to restore us. And there's always that parallel that we see when God is speaking to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, and certainly in this passage we find this addressment basically to the nation. And this, as we've said, if you were here, we talked about that this is one of those psalms that was written during a time of trouble for the nation. And they were not where they needed to be with the Lord. And so God uses this as sort of a call, a plea for them, to realize the change that needs to be made. And as we talked about, certainly the restoration is important. And then finally, we talked about this on Memorial Day, for God to help us truly understand how to rejoice. And if you remember, that rejoicing really is defined by the way God would rejoice. And so as we turn now and look and pick up where we left off on Memorial Day, you might think of this as part two, and the title of it, as you see on the screen, is How Can America Change? We've talked about how we pray for America. So what does the Bible tell us about change? Now, I want to be careful about something here. Let's not make the mistake of believing that the nation of Israel now has been exchanged with America. I'm not saying that this morning. And I'm not saying that somehow we can now sort of throw Israel out and now America is God's chosen people. Now, I will tell you, this is a great country and God has a plan and a purpose for this country, but all believers don't just live in this country. There are believers throughout the world who are in many different countries. We have a great relationship with many believers in Peru. And so when we begin to sort of look at the messages, and this is the point I'm trying to make, when we look at the message of what God is saying to the nation of Israel, I want you to understand the context of that. He is speaking to his chosen people, a nation that he set in place to now glorify and honor him, but most importantly of anything else, to be the nation in which the Messiah would be brought into the world. And so when we look at our country today, we're not Israel. Now, I do believe the church, and we're not going to get into the theology of this, but I will sort of do a cheap commercial here. Starting next week, for 4 weeks in July, we're going to look at a series titled, Does It Really Matter What I Believe? And we're going to look at four deep theological things. We'll look at one each week, and then on Sunday night, we'll come back and look at them more sort of as an application to our life. That starts next week. But one of those things that we'll talk about is the church and the importance of understanding that when we look at the Old Testament and the addressment about God's chosen people, make no mistake that when we look at the world today, the church has a mission and a purpose. Now, let me say this also. The nation of Israel is still God's chosen people. He still has a plan for them, okay? And so as we look at Scripture, I want us to look at this today through the eyes of the lesson. And we do this all through Scripture. God may be addressing an issue with somebody or talking to someone specifically, but there are lessons for us to glean and pull that apply to us. And that's where we are as a country today. I don't think we need to necessarily paint a picture of accuracy because we all see it. We see the chaos in our country. We see the growing resistance to God and the church and the truth of who Christ is. And we're seeing the label on Christians today and the church as a whole that we're now intolerant because we believe in what the Bible says. Now, none of that should be a surprise to us. The Bible seems clear that as we get closer to the end of time and before Jesus returns, we will get into situations that will be worse and worse. And God will begin to sort of grow us toward that point to where the church will be persecuted. In some places in the world today, it's persecuted. But I don't believe that God is through with America yet. And there's a purpose and a means for us still being here. And as we find, as I said a moment ago in my prayer, as he says to Esther, for such a time as this, that's in Esther chapter 4, or long about verse 14, that's a message that ought to resonate to us today. It's not time, folks, to pack up and go up to the mountaintop and wait for Jesus to come. He is coming, make no mistake, but there is still work for us to do in this country. And as a member of this church, as a member of the body of Christ, God is interested in what goes on in this country and the way that we react to it. And when we look at passages like these, as we'll read, this is all about God reviving the hearts of the believers and getting them poised in a position to begin to influence the actions of the nation. I mean, I have hope for America. I don't believe that even in the midst of the trouble that we see right now and the protest and the hatred and the disconnection from the church today that we find, I don't believe that it's a lost cause. There is still a place for America. And we must be in tune to that and understand that, as we've said, for such a time as this, God may have put you in this world for right now so that we can change this country, so that we can be the messengers of truth. And when we look at this morning, I want us to think about it. And if you're taking notes, we'll put this under the heading, Four Ways America Can Change. And this is taken directly out of this passage. So let's start reading together. We'll start reading, as I've said, in verse 7. We'll go down to the end of the psalm, and we're in Psalm 85. We'll go down to verse 13, and then we'll come back, and we'll start sort of breaking this apart into our individual points. So here's what it says. Verse 7, show us your unfailing love, O Lord. Grant us your salvation. Now, verse 7 is a bridge between what we talked about in Memorial Day service up through verses really 4 through 6. And so verse 7 is sort of that bridge that now walks us in to the call for action. Make no mistake about that. We're now moving into verse 8, where now God is giving a charge to the nation of what they need to change. And this is where it begins to apply to us. I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. Verse 9, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. So our land, again, I think you can think of America there, will be filled with his glory. Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Verse 11, truth springs up from the earth and righteousness smiles down from heaven. Yes, the Lord pours down his blessings. Our land will yield its bountiful harvest. In other words, what God had intended for the nation of Israel, the physical land, the blessings of that physical land would come to pass. And when we begin to think about the opportunities that we have as a country and the blessings that we have that God has given us, then we can understand that those springs and the truth of God's blessings will now begin to reap a harvest. But make no mistake here, the church is a part of that. Now look at verse 13. Righteousness goes as a herald before him, preparing the way for his steps. Now if you don't hear anything else this morning, underline, mark, star, highlight, whatever you need to do to remember verse 13. Exchange the word righteousness for believers, his children, his instruments, his tools. Go as a herald. You know what a herald is? A truth speaker. Someone who is going and unapologetically standing for the truth of what God says. And they are going and preparing the way for what? God's movement to come. So as we look at this, I want to come back, as I've said, and look at the four ways that I think we can glean from this passage that America needs to change. Number one comes in verse 8. Look what he says. I listen carefully. Now, he is talking about the writer here. The writer is saying, I listen carefully. So in other words, he is now sort of confessing, I am paying attention to what God the Lord is saying. As you see on the screen, the first way that America can change, and you might add into this, one way that we can encourage our neighbors and our friends to change is to listen to God's truth. I mean, he says this, I listen carefully. That is a choice that has to be made. And as we pray for that and as we seek to encourage other people to do that, we need to make sure that we are listening carefully to God's truth. Now listen, this isn't just a casual understanding or a reading of those truths. If you listen carefully and if you see sort of the flavor in which the psalmist is writing this, I listen carefully. It's a choice that they're making, but the emphasis is on the lessons that are learned. How do we know that? From the rest of what's written in this psalm. The fact that they're listening to what God's design and truth is now leading to what we read in the rest of verse 8 all the way down to verse 13. The only way the nation was going to change is if they listened and applied the truths of God's word. Now you think about what would happen in America today if America would listen to those truths. Listen, we would no longer be confused by what marriage is. Amen? We wouldn't be confused by when life begins and when life ends. The Bible is very clear about those things. We would understand the important role of the family and the moms and the dads and the responsibilities that they carry. We would understand that as we go into places and now begin to participate in the civic responsibility that we have as citizens, we understand that God's truth should be that which guides us. Now the world will tell you real quickly, you need to separate those things out. The way you vote and your politics and your ideology have nothing to do with your beliefs and trust in Jesus Christ and your theology. There couldn't be any more bigger lie from the pit of hell than that. And the only way that America will change is if believers in America begin to pay attention to those truths and guide us in the way that we may rise up against issues. Being sensitive to those things. And listen, it's not just being a tool and an instrument. It's understanding our Heavenly Father. I believe this heart is breaking because of things that are happening in our country today. And too many Christians have been lulled into just sort of sitting on the sidelines and no longer being involved in the process. They'll say things like this, I don't want to offend anybody. My beliefs are offensive to others, so I don't want to engage. Listen, it doesn't matter. They're not offended by you. They're offended by God who you believe in and the truths in which you stand for. And so when we talk about revival and renewal, we need to make sure that we understand that that includes us as believers. There needs to be renewal and revival in the church. And as that happens, then we begin to go out and make the changes that God wants to make in this country. But unfortunately, in too many places, the church has begun to sort of cower down and change their beliefs and change their strong stances to now be really inseparable from what the world is saying. And they've watered down their theology. They've decided that it's more important not to be offensive to people and more important to be accepted by the world who rejects all of the truths of Scripture, and we're moving too fast in those directions instead of understanding that what the Bible says is that people are going to become more and more resistant to those truths. And what we're seeing in America today and really the world should not shock us. But it's now that we stand, and we know why we stand, and we know those truths. And we understand that what people are beginning to stand against is not you and I, but the divine word of God. America needs to listen. They do. They need to know those truths. They need to live by those truths. And as we pray for particular things, certainly we've already talked about the things that we need to pray for out of this passage, but we can be more specific in those prayers, praying that God's truth would be listened by our politicians, our president, our Congress, even our elected officials here close by, and that believers would listen to those truths. Man, I can't believe in 2019 that we're still debating with all of the science that we have. And I apologize if this is going to offend some of you, but I can't believe in all of what goes on in the medical field that we are still denying in some circles when life begins in the womb. I mean, it just shocks me. I mean, you talk about things that break God's heart, that has to be breaking His heart. And as believers, we ought to be in tune to Him so much that it now begins to break our heart and cause us to want to stand. I'm not saying that we go out and create violence out of that, but we stand strong on what the Bible says is when life begins is at that point of conception. I believe that with all of my heart. And as we talk about the nation of Israel, let's not avoid the real problem that goes on in the nation. They suffer judgment because they refuse to obey God. And while I will say this, whenever judgment comes, the people know without question that it's judgment. But I will say this, that we as a country need to be careful because we are doing things now that are impersonating God. We're now making life and death decisions that really God has already defined as when those things should be and how they should be. Now, this is the part that may offend you. I don't know how someone can read the Scriptures and not understand clearly that we as believers should stand for pro-life. I'm just going to say that from the pulpit. I just have a hard time understanding how someone can begin to walk away from those truths. Now, number two, we get into verses 9 and 10. Another way that America can change is not only to listen to God's truth, but look at verse 9 and 10. It says, "As surely as salvation is near." Now, salvation is an act of God's grace, His love. Look what He says. "Surely as salvation is near to those who fear Him, so our land will be filled," what? "With His glory." Another sort of word for His love, glory, His presence. And then He gets into verse 10. Look what He says. "Unfailing love and truth have met together." I mean, you understand that God loves you. He loves you so much that He has created you in His image. He has given you an opportunity at salvation by sending His Son to die for you. But that now begins to intersect with the truth of that knowledge and understanding what God has. And I love that last statement, which I think can be confusing sometimes. "Righteousness and peace have kissed." Now, you could think of it several different ways, but listen, the peace that we have in our walk with the Lord now becomes a part of the righteousness that we're pursuing. In other words, when we're not at peace in our heart as a believer, oftentimes that's because we're not at peace with our Heavenly Father. Now, let's take that a step further. We could say our country is not at peace with God right now. I don't believe it is. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't people within our country that are at peace with him. And as believers, we're striving to do that every single day. But we understand that, God does look down, and, certainly his love now becomes supreme. And this is point number two. The second way America can change is to know God's love. Now, why is that important? Well, I mean, it says in verse 9 and 10, salvation. It talks about his unfailing love. It talks about the righteousness and the peace. I mean, listen, when we think about God's love, that now begins to lead us to understand that salvation is possible only by way of what Jesus did on the cross. And once we come to terms with that, now we begin to experience as a believer truly his love. And now the promise of that forgiveness is fulfilled, that he's forgiven us of our sins, and now he begins to restore us into the image that he ordained for us even before you were created. And now he has purpose and meaning for you, and he gives you spiritual gifts to now begin to be used for his kingdom work. You could say this: God's love is unfailing. It is. It never ends. And no matter how rebellious we may be as individuals and as a country, he still loves us. But his love is patient. Now, one of the things we're going to look at tonight, and again, this is another commercial. If you'll come back at 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to look at Joel. And we're going to look at Joel's command, again, to the nation that God gives him about repentance. And we'll talk about the repentance factor when it comes to America and the part that we have as believers and, the guidance of that. But listen, God's love is unfailing. It never ends. It brings repentance. When we begin to see God's love present, we acknowledge that, and now we begin to understand the impact that it has on our life, it begins to change and transform us. I mean, you think of any number of our politicians beginning to understand and live by that fact that God's love is unfailing. That would then lead it easy to understand God's truth, because not only are you reading it in the sense of understanding that it's from God, but now you're reading it as a believer with the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart guiding you. That leads to change. We talk about change all the time. And what we see here is America, just like the nation of Israel, needed to turn back and begin to understand and know personally God's love, the action of that, and the blessing that comes with that love. And then we get to the third point, and this sort of connects to the second point, because God's love then leads us to understand something else. And, you'll see the third one on the screen, so that we would see God's blessing. That's kind of the third thing America can do to change, is not only listen to God's truth, know God's love, but to see God's blessings. Now again, I'm going to refer to Roger here for a moment. He said in his beginning of his song that God has blessed this nation. There's no question he has. Blessed us beyond what we deserve, amen? And we live in the greatest country in the world, with the freedoms and liberty that many have died so that we can have and celebrate in a week like this. Now, many of us think of 4th of July, unfortunately, as just barbecue and being a day off from work, but it's much more than that. It's a celebration, it should, for the believer, of the blessings that God has given this country. I know at Thanksgiving time, we often encourage one another to count our blessings, to look back at how God has blessed you in that time, and, that's a very personal thing that sometimes we ought to guide our family to do. But when it comes to 4th of July, that is not necessarily a religious holiday. But for a believer, it can be. It can become a time where we begin to look at all of the ways that God has blessed this nation. From the time that it was founded as a place for Christians to come and practice unimpeded by the government, to where it's been now, and all of the things that God has done to spread that freedom across this world. I mean, I don't know if you saw it on the news this morning, but our president walked into the North Korean area of that unmilitarized zone. There's been no other president that's done that I understand. And he walks in and he shakes hands. Listen, that is God using our nation now to hopefully spread freedom into places like North Korea, where the church is shut out, but you understand the opportunities that could come with that. God is blessing this nation. He blesses it on a regular basis. But unfortunately, we as Christians sometimes begin to get immune to that. I think we just sort of see it as just, it just happens. And we're no longer shocked by it. We're no longer seeing the awesomeness of what God does in our country and how He blesses us. And sometimes He sends things, I think, to get our attention, no question. But our country ought to be unified under the idea of seeing the blessings of God at work around us. And certainly we as believers understand God's blessings. We hopefully see them on a daily basis in our own lives. But do we see them in this country? Are we sharing with others how God has blessed this country? I mean, if you don't know those blessings, that I'd invite you to study a little bit of American history. I'm a little bit of a history buff, and I love history, but one of my favorite subjects is American history. And I know they've tried to rewrite history today. We got to be careful with that and try to tell you that this country was not founded on Christian principles. There couldn't be anything further from the truth. The fact that they just simply put all of the references to God and freedom and liberty in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights ought to tell you something there. I mean, we have been a country that was founded really as a blessing that God had provided. And He's still providing that. And we would be guilty of failure to see that truth if we don't understand those blessings. And then let's think of this. And this comes kind of in that fourth point. It's really verse 13, which we've already spoken to. But the righteousness goes as a herald before Him, preparing the way for His steps. Listen, this fourth way that America can change is that we now begin to trust God's faithfulness. Now, He makes a statement here, preparing the way. I go back to this. God has a plan for this country. He always has had a plan for this country. And I believe the church and believers are a vital part of that. As we think about even our small church and the blessings that we've been able to participate in and the action of God using this church to go into places like Peru. If it wasn't for the freedoms of this country, we would never be able to do that. And because of who our country is and what our country is, it allows us to get into some of those places. I mean, I know some of the people who've been to Peru, and this isn't always something that I guess is always a highlight, but after I've been so many times, it's always amazing to me how people in the village idolize Americans. Now, I would probably say, you know, they're watching TV and they're probably getting the wrong image. But when we walk in, we are often granted access simply because we're Americans. And it's not just in places like Peru. All around this world, people look to America as oftentimes the pace setter. And when you think about some of the issues that we're dealing with as a country and how that not only affects people in our country, but now begins to affect other countries and people there, you now begin to understand the width and the power of that influence. But it's always amazing that when you stand before the village people in like one of the schools, they always want to ask what it's like to live in America. You know, what is it like? And they've just seen things on TV and they're just amazed by what America is and what we do. Listen, that influence, I believe, is something that God uses, and the church has an opportunity through that influence to now begin to bring the truth that Christ has. We served under a pastor in South Carolina who was a chaplain in the Army. And even though in places like Saudi Arabia and Iraq, they don't allow Christianity to be in the open, but here are all of these tens of thousands of American troops coming into that place with Bibles and chaplains and their Christian beliefs that now begin to be a sort of a groundwork for God to use that. And he would talk about how their translators and things like that were Muslims would be standing in the service and allowing them to speak to people in the village and things like that, but yet they would hear the truth themselves. I mean, it's amazing how God does that. And as I say, God's faithfulness is something that, and the key word there is trust. We need to trust in His faithfulness. We need to have confidence, knowing that whatever the world is presenting today is not bigger than God. Amen? And whatever problems this country faces is not too big for God and His grace. And as we talk about His faithfulness, and even still to today, we see God's faithfulness to the nation of Israel. And as I've said, you be careful here. We're not replacing the nation of Israel and now saying that God's blessing is on this country. Some may tell you that. And I'm not saying that God doesn't understand America. He doesn't have interest. His hand is not on America. I believe it is. But we also understand that God's hand is on other countries too. But America has a unique opportunity. And we see that faithfulness at play. God's faithfulness to us. The opportunities that we've had, and you just think about all of the attacks and the wars at this country, the threat to freedoms that we've had, and God has always been persistent, faithful in making sure that that freedom is there. And so when we celebrate the birthday of our country, listen, it's a time of certainly barbecue or hamburgers in my family's case, I think, this week. It certainly includes watermelon and all of the other fruits of summer. But it also should include an opportunity for us to reflect and ask some of those questions. We've talked about how we can pray for our country. We've talked about this morning, what are the changes that can be made? Listen, I've always heard this and I believe this. We are the instrument that God uses to bring change. We can talk about change in other people's lives, but these changes must first be in our lives and now begin to impact the way that we live. So not only are we telling people as believers and as a church what those truths are and what God's love is and what His blessings are and how He's been faithful, but they are also seeing it in our actions. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for this passage, and thank You, Father, for the freedom that we have in this country. And I pray that in the heart of the believer that You would stir us to become much more focused on being the tool and the instrument that we've talked about this morning. Not just in the relationships that we have in our community with our neighbors and others, but even as a citizen of this great country, the way that we vote, the way that we make our voice known. Father, all of those different opportunities and rights and privileges that we have as a citizen, now that we're part, as believers, a citizen of heaven, of the kingdom of God, that now begins to influence our citizenship in this country. This country needs revival, but the church needs revival as well. And that includes me, that includes everyone gathered here this morning as believers. And so as we think about change in this country, we can't hope for that or even pray for that without also considering that we may need to change. And so, Father, as we're going into sometimes the laborsome year of electing a new president and the difficulties that sometimes come when we turn on the TV and we just get exhausted by the debates and all of those things, Father, give us a sense of duty in those things to be able to be informed as believers and as part of this country, to be able to be Your voice and Your tool and Your instrument as we go to vote, as we make our voices known, as we rise up and support issues or try not to let certain issues go through as laws. Father, I said this in the very beginning, but I believe it. You are interested in what goes on in this country. You are interested in the way that we react to the things that go on in this country. And so, Father, I pray that what breaks Your heart would break our heart. What would bring joy to Your heart would bring joy to our heart. We often talk about wisdom, and that's simply seeing the world and situations the way that You see them. And that's my prayer this morning for us, that we would be wise believers rising up to be used as the tool and instruments that You have brought us to be. And I love this passage, for such a time as this. Father, we pray for our country. We pray that they, our neighbors and churches, would lead out and help this nation to fulfill what that purpose is that You have for it. God, I don't know what decisions need to be made this morning. There may be some, as we've said, who've never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And while this hasn't necessarily been an evangelistic message from Scripture, there are the truths of who Jesus are. And so there may be some this morning led by the Holy Spirit to come and accept Christ. And so we welcome them. We open that opportunity for them. There are people here who would love to share with them how they can know those truths. But Father, I pray for the believer this morning. who may have become apathetic, may have decided not to get involved in the politics of this nation or the issues of this nation. Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts and understand that we each have a responsibility that I believe one day we will stand before the kingdom and answer for. Lord, you cause us, lead us to be the tool and the instrument that I believe you've ordained each of us to be. So there may be some who need to rededicate their life, may come to the altar and pray this morning or make a decision at their seat. Whatever needs to be done, Father, we give this time of commitment to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?